Well, a very warm welcome. If you're a visitor, we do trust that you will be blessed today. We trust that you will be able to be a blessing to someone else. Welcome to Grace Community Church, first service of the year. One of the things that I've been challenged with already this year is the fact that I've spent a week preparing something that I felt was relevant for today. Many of you will know me. You'll know that I don't like to make notes. You know that I like to read scripture, preach Bible, encourage and challenge. However, I have written one or two things down. And after I've read what I've written down, I want to do something different. And it's always difficult when you want to do something different, because everyone's in a different position. Everyone's at a different part of their life. Everyone walks in a different way, naturally and spiritually. And sometimes it's so easy, isn't it, when you do something different to bring offense, and it's so easy to be offended. So within that context, I just want to release you as a corporate body. Whatever God is saying to you, I want you to speak it out. I want to give you an opportunity. There's one or two things that I've written down for prayer, and maybe we can pray for these after I've just read some of the things that I'd already prepared in writing. I just want to read these to us. I want you to listen carefully, if you would. Just get my heart from what I'm saying here, but I'm not going to preach on it. I'm not going to read the scripture that the Lord has placed on my heart. I want us to do something different, and I will explain as we go along. Is that okay? Okay. 2018 behind us, 2019 ahead. As a ministry, our hope is that we, as a collective and as individuals, that we have made a difference to one or more people around us. Through our Sundays and our midweek ministries, we have been blessed by individuals that have felt that they've been called by the Lord to bring something to us. We've been blessed by AJ and Jackie and Matt and Victoria through ARC, Clive and Michelle, Chet, Mike, Jeanette through Home Groups, Dave Martin, Tom, Rick and Sandra. And we really believe as a ministry that we want to see individuals grow and become who God has called them to be. And this year, Jackie and myself, we're going to be looking at the person of the Holy Spirit. We're going to bring some hopefully in-depth teaching on that. I know Mike has some things on his heart that he wants to share, and one or two others as we go into 2019. We've been upheld by Tuesday prayer. And all of these people that I've mentioned and all these ministries have had one thing in common. They all want to bless us. Whenever we hear someone bring something, it's to bless the body of Christ. All different, yes, yet serving our Lord Jesus Christ. All different, yet all hoping to be a blessing. And that's one of the things that we want to do when we speak from this platform, from the privileged position that God has given us. Many differences, yet a unity through that diversity. I know that my own skills are limited. Don't say anything. I also know that by God's grace and by the support of Susan and you, our church family, I have been placed in a position of privilege. Because of you and God's calling, I can do this full time. I can speak for those that struggle to speak for themselves. I can mourn with those that mourn. I can rejoice with those that rejoice. I can stir you up to seek out truth. For this, I am truly thankful. I am thankful. Susan and I, we are blessed. Blessed to serve alongside elders and trustees and all who call themselves Grace Community Church. In 2019, truth is just as important as it was in 2018. And truth is a word that we hear very little of, but I believe it's just as important today as it was yesterday. If we want to be completely free, we need truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're told to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. We are to be thankful for each other. We are to serve each other. We are a small part of a bigger picture in which God has the box. As we assemble week by week or week on week for corporate worship as we pray together, as we serve each other through our welcome, our home groups, our hospitality, through our children's work, through ARC, through team worship, through setting up and setting down of church, through praying one for another, as we reflect on our rights, the many blessings of belonging to God's family, we must also reflect on our responsibilities. And over the last couple of weeks, I've brought this message that's been entitled, "We have rights to be called children of God, but when we have those rights, we also have responsibilities to act like children of God." You, I, we have responsibility to share God's word, to pray, to serve, to forgive, not to be offended, to finance, to be wholehearted. That's where I want to leave it. Because actually, what I've written down there and the scriptures that come is a message for another day. But the end of that was this. We're all called to serve and to love and encourage. So that's what I want to do this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to serve, to love, to encourage. I want to take a step of faith, some would say. I was reminded through worship that some years ago, Julian and I, we went to America to what in Christian circles you would call a revival. It was where something was dead and it was believed that God was breathing afresh on this situation. And there was a man there that was leading this revival. And Julie and I went with open hearts and open minds. And we came away thinking that there's nothing much happening here. God is still on the move everywhere. But there's nothing unique happening. But what did happen to me was this. As I was standing in line to come into this, where there's thousands and thousands of people hungry for God's Spirit, hungry for hearing what God has got to say, there was a man behind me and his wife. He was a pastor and she was a pastor from Wales. They've been in the ministry many years and his face was on the ground. And I just looked at him and said, "Hello, good morning." And he said, "Hello, good morning back." And then I asked him what was wrong. And he said this to me. I remember it as if it was yesterday. He said, "Well, we've been in ministry many years, but I think we're going to give up. You've just traveled halfway around the world to come to a revival, to be inspired, encouraged, uplifted, impacted, anointed afresh. And yet, after one day of being here, you're going to give up. Why? And this is what he said to me, friends. He said this. Yesterday, that was the day, that was the Tuesday, and Julie and I got there on the Wednesday. Yesterday on the Tuesday, the leadership of this revival called all the UK pastors to the front, and they all lined up. And as they started to pray for them, they all started to collapse and fall to the ground, one after the other, after the other, after the other. And then they got to me and my wife, and we just stood there. And then they carried on, and we just stood there. And we looked at each other and thought, what's the point? He was expecting God to touch him in a certain way. And by the Spirit of God, I believe these words came out of my mouth. And the reason I'm saying them is because when we are taught, when we are led by the Spirit of God, there are things that we can think are of him and they're not of him. These words came out and I think they're so true today. I turned to him and said, "If the shepherd is on the floor while the wolf is at the gate, the sheep will be eaten." And he looked at me and said, "Pardon, can you repeat that?" I said, "If the shepherd is on the floor while the wolf is at the gate, the sheep will be eaten." And as I reflected on that myself, it was saying to me that when God calls shepherds, he calls a shepherd to protect and lead the sheep, not to lay on the floor and fall asleep while the wolf is attacking. So fortunately, that ministry was restored. But I say that because when we speak, our words have power to build up or to destroy. Now, I made one or two notes on some prayer that I wanted us to pray before our church service, and I want to do it now. And there are individuals in church that we know, our church family, who are unwell. There are individuals around the world that we're in relationship that are unwell. There's something that God has placed on your heart, and I want to give you the opportunity to vocalize what God is saying to you. So I want you to take advantage of an open mic, remembering that while the shepherd is standing and alert, the wolf can't get in and attack. So you're okay, you're in a safe place. Judy put a request out for her mum, who's been diagnosed with cancer. Cancer is a scourge, isn't it? We can pray as a family, can't we? We can say, Lord, you're the king over cancer. You know, I'm very, very blessed. I'm 58 years old and I've only ever spent one day in hospital, one position overnight. And I know it's not true for many others. I am blessed. But we all serve a God that can, that will, that does. There is a lady called Megan, and I'm going to ask Michelle to come and pray with us in that situation. And as I was speaking to Jeanette today, she said, I just had this sense. Now, this is going to freak some of us out as Christians. She said, I just had this sense that we should. Oh, I can't even say it. We should hold our hands and pray. Oh my goodness, I do hate holding hands. But what she's saying is we should unite. So Susan should just unite with Caroline. She can touch her shoulder or hold her hand if she wants to. So whatever God says to us, there's no rule, is there, in the sense that whether we hold one another's hand or we join in spirit or we actually just link out as a sense of solidarity. Let's join together in prayer. Jeffrey and Sonia, many of you will know, we don't get to hear these stories. Jeffrey is suffering. He was in hospital. He's disorientated. He's suffering with dementia. Sometimes there's illnesses that we don't even like to mention. We go, Jeffrey is suffering with dementia. And we say it quietly as if it's going to make a difference. But you know what? If it's in darkness, it can't come out into the light. So when someone has cancer, we don't celebrate the cancer. We celebrate the God that can bring a healing. There was a, and I will give you your time in a minute. There's a scripture that really blesses me when I read it, and it's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And basically, it's about bowing down to a false god. And the king says, listen, if you will bow down, then you don't have to be thrown into the fire. You know the story? And he turns around and he says, listen, I'm paraphrasing. He says, I won't bow down to your god. My God will protect us. My God will be there with us. My God will save us. And then he says something really, really important. He says this, but even if he doesn't, I will still not bow down. And what that says to me is this, that if I have any form of illness or disability, I will pray because my God will heal me in this life. And even if he doesn't, he will heal me in the life to come. So I'm on a win-win. And when we look at this story, they were thrown into the fire. And there was a fourth person walking around. Christ is with you wherever you are in your affliction. So I'm not making light of your ailments or the ailments of people around us. I'm not making light of someone who is dying of cancer or being tormented by dementia. I am saying this, that when we bring what's in darkness out into the light, so when I say to you, are you okay? And you say, yes, there's nothing I can do to join with you. But when you say, well, actually, I'm not okay. And as I've spoken to one or two people coming into church today, I am overwhelmed by the life that we live, the disasters that we have to face on a daily basis. I'm overwhelmed by the suffering that's around us, just us as a fellowship. So I want to give us a chance to pray one with another, to link one with another. I want us to pray for Janet. I want us to pray for those that we can see in our midst that are suffering in one way or another. I want us to pray for bereavement. And every time I think about bereavement, I obviously think about my own suffering in that. But I know that it's real. And one of the things I want to say to anyone without looking at anyone is that if you've suffered a bereavement, you need to mourn. You need to grieve. I lost my father at the age of 11. I didn't grieve until I was 30 years old. What a waste. I become hard-hearted, not whole-hearted. God softened me. So I want to simply say to us as a church, if there's something God's placed on your heart, if you want to share a testimony, if you want to share prayer and say, you know, pray for me, I want to bring this into the light, whatever it is, maybe, whatever, I'm not going to put words in your mouth unless God gives me something specific. Maybe someone's struggling with, what are you really saying to me about this particular situation, Lord? What are you really saying to me about my health? What are you saying to me about my giving? What are you saying to me about my commitment? What are you saying to me about my relationship with my parents, my wife, my husband, my friends? What are you saying, Lord? Ask him the question. If you want to bring it in the light, come and share with us so that we can join in heart or hand or shoulder. or foot. We can join together and we can pray one for another. So we can put into practice what it was that was at the end of this short statement of mine. That we are all called. It's our responsibility to share God's word. To pray, to serve, to forgive, to not be offended, to finance God's kingdom, to be wholehearted, not half-hearted. So is there anyone? If not, I will preach this 16-point sermon that God has given me. Pauline, come out and share. And then just come out and share. We have these moments that we can do that. Let's see what God does in the midst of us.
I can't tell you how my heart is beating. I just feel that God has got hold of me and just drawn me out here. I've already shared this with Michelle this morning. You all know that I've had this hit down. I don't want to go on about it, but it's been a real struggle. And there's a dear lady that would often text me just at the right time as I was really suffering. And I'd text her back and I'd just, not go into too much details, but just say, oh, it's a bit difficult, but I'm making progress. And within half an hour, I would feel so much better, to the extent where I could actually let go of the stick and walk across the room. And I feel
now you can hear me. Obviously, as most of you know, I go out to Children's Church most weeks and help out there. So I went to share a blessing from my grandson, because blessings come in all shapes and sizes. And towards the end of last year, our lovely friend here, Jeanette, lost her dog. And she was very sad. And I shared that with my grandson and didn't think anything of it, and the weeks go by. And he came round one day, and I don't know what I'd done. Oh, he's five. Sorry, he's 5 years old. He came round, and I'd done something, and his mum has been talking to him about giving. So he came up to me, and he gave me 4 pence. And he said, "Here you are, Grandma. Thank you for what you've done." And I said, "Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you." I said, "But I'm not going to keep that 4 pence. I'm going to give that to something that I save some money for. I give it to people." And actually, it was going to be for leprosy. I said, "So I put it in my container and I give it to leprosy." So he went, "No, Grandma." He says, "I want you to give that 4 pence to Jeanette so that Jeanette can buy a new dog." So these blessings, they look very small, but they are so big. His heart was so full and so compassionate. He started to walk away, then he came back. He opened his purse again, and he gave me another 2 pence. He said, "Here you are, Grandma. Now she can buy her dog." So all these little things that go on in our fellowship, they might seem very small, but they are very significant, and they are always worth sharing. Because that little boy's heart was to be compassionate. Let us all learn from that lesson to be compassionate.
I don't know if this is the same story that Michelle wanted to bring. It was about a person called Megan, who's on life support. She's just had a baby, a few days old. She's got 6 other children, and the husband is now having to make the decision to stop life support. Can we just pray for them? He is a pastor and she pastors with him. And although some of the things he's been saying have been with his pastor hat on, at the same time he's been saying things with a broken heart because his wife is dying. So can we please pray for them?
Yeah, let's do that. I want to encourage you that just like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, even if he doesn't, I will still serve you, Lord. When we talk about foundations, we talk about our feet being fitted with the shoes to be ready to share the gospel. We speak about our feet being planted on the rock, which is Christ Jesus, which is solid. And the reason we teach that week by week, the reason we encourage us as a church here to trust the truth of God's word, is that when the wind and the waves come, and they will come if they haven't, you will not be blown over. Your house will stand. And it's times like this. So can we stand together as a fellowship, if you don't mind, if we just stand up and link our hearts or our hands or just connect one with another.
Not working, that's better. We've been praying as a family for Megan and the family, and we just want to come now as a church, a body, to come together and just say, Lord, we want to add our prayers to the many saints that are praying for this family. Lord God, we want you and your Holy Spirit to touch them, Lord, to continue to speak into this man's life, Lord. Lord, as he speaks out your love, faith for you, Lord, in this terrible situation, Lord, we pray that you bring peace into this situation, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you work the miracles. This man claims many miracles. He claims the miracle of salvation for everyone in this church. He claims the miracle of healing into people's lives, Lord, on top of the sadness and the pain that he's going through for the potential loss of his wife. And he says he's not giving up on the miracle for his wife to be healed, but he just looks to Christ. So we stand with this man, Lord Jesus, today, and we say, Lord, have your way, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord God, come. Fill that family's pain, Lord God, with your love, Lord Jesus. And we do pray alongside this man that the miracle of healing can come to his wife, even in these last moments. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are our healer. Father, we thank you that through the story of the centurion, he says, I know what it is to be a man under authority. Say the word. So, Father God, we speak wholeness and healing to Megan and her family in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Father God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you, Lord, that you know who we are. And you know, Father God, the amount of hairs on our head. Lord, you know when we wake and when we slumber. Lord, you know us. Lord, you love us. Lord, you're coming back for us. Lord, you have a mansion for us to inhabit. Father, we thank you for this privilege to be able to pray one for another. Father, come, we pray in Jesus' name. God's people said, Amen. Please take a seat.